Yo, I love everybody that left a review on the podcast from last week. I kicked off the episode just asking that if you have been listening via the audio version of what we're putting out here, a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to, if they allow you to leave rating and reviews, is much appreciated. So it takes about 5 seconds to do so. You click 5 stars, you leave an honest rating and review, and that helps us out a ton. So I hope y'all have your shirts tucked in, you're done yelling, and you enjoy this episode.
What's cracking, big dogs? Welcome, Mike, to the channel. Welcome, Mike, to the headquarters. My name is Nicholas. That is Noah. That is Michael. Make sure you're following them on Twitter. Make sure you are subscribed to the Bunk Bed Breakdowns channel on YouTube. They are putting out 5 beautiful pieces of Dynasty content every single day. I think they put out more content than I do now. I've created a monster, and I hate it. They're big enough to fire me. We're here to talk about week 2. Week 2, we're going to continue doing the same kind of format of the show that we did last week, where it's just us kind of navigating through the week, things that we picked up and things that are happening in our leagues that we can give you like real life examples for and kind of just go with the flow conversation. I had a good time doing that. I think it was fun to kind of record that way. I feel like you guys probably got a lot of value of it because we hit a lot of different angles and different players and league formats and things like that. So it pertained to everybody. So for those of y'all that complain in the comments, we got one of these big ones for you. For the rest of y'all that show love, as always, hit the thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel if you're new, and hit the intro, baby.
All right. Listen, guys. It was a fucking rough week. I mean, this was like when you get the boys together and you head out to Vegas and you get some bottles and models on that, but then, you know, 6 hours later is like one of your boys lost his leg, another one of your boys is gone.
I mean, like one of your homies, you have no idea where he is. He lost his, every time you're trying to call him, it goes straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
That's what this was. Saquon Barkley is the voicemail guy. Oh, yeah. Wait, did you guys see the video that the counselor put up?
No.
Yeah, he said he's too busy being a model.
Yeah, he was taking a big victory lap about how he called Christian McCaffrey was going to get hurt this year because he's too busy being a model. Halfway through, he's like, and I told you guys to draft Saquon Barkley over Christian McCaffrey, but you couldn't see the Saquon Barkley injury coming. I told you the C-Mac injury was coming. So he was going nuts about how he made the right call about drafting Saquon Barkley over Christian McCaffrey.
Well, he's a doctor, so I believe him.
He's a psycho.
He's definitely got some mental health issues. 100%.
Goes without saying, yeah. He's one of the boys you bring to Vegas.
Yeah, definitely. But look, I mean, it was brutal. Like this, I think this has been the most brutal year for injuries like ever, but not just like injuries, but, like injuries to stars, right? Like we didn't just lose Saquon Barkley. We lost Saquon Barkley. We lost Christian McCaffrey. We lost Michael Thomas. Like those are three of the top
Tyrod
three.
Taylor. I mean, the list goes on.
Top three of the dynasty assets in that we have, right? And top three, the like three of the first round picks gone.
Yeah.
Just wiped out. And I think it's just like crazy that happened. And, you know, it kind of goes back to like, I think, you know, Ray tweeted this, but like NFL players are like creatures of habit, you know, and their habit was disturbed this season because they didn't have any training. Well, they didn't have much training camp. There's no preseason. There's barely any contact football, and the fucking hamstring ACL snipers business is booming. So
someone's down on the field right now with an ACL tear. I could see it. I don't know who it is. Hopefully it's Taysom Hill.
I didn't mean that.
No, but for real. All right, listen. So if you're this is a dynasty show. So if you own C-Mac, obviously you're not doing anything with him because it's a high ankle sprain, 4 to 6 weeks. There could be a little bit of concern. Snacks brought up the point today that if it ends up being on the longer side of that, 6 weeks or so, he comes back and you know the Panthers are like 0-8, 0-9 by then. I'd put it at like a 5% chance that they shut him down for the year because that's just so long of a time period for C-Mac to agree to do that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I guess realistically, you're not really doing much with C-Mac. But for Barkley, like us three are in a dynasty league together where I took Saquon at the 102.
Yep.
And that league, I also have like George Kittle and I have Kirk Cousins just put me up a fucking neg. So I'm not looking. I went against Scott this week. He's in a rebuilding mode. And I put up like, yeah. I put up like 45 points against him because I had Julio going too. So my entire, fuck you, Mike. I don't like how much you're laughing this episode.
I don't think I've said a word other than me like laughing so far.
So in that league, Mike, I was actually going to see if this is a good topic of conversation right now because I'm looking to see what I could do with Barkley. Like, he's not necessarily someone I'm looking to sell, but yep. I want to see what's out there in the waters. And obviously, you're more on the rebuilding side yep. than anything else. And I'm like, is Barkley a guy that you where your team is at? Like, maybe we could do a little trade negotiations live on air here. What do you think about Barkley?
I'm not going to bullshit. Like, I just put out an episode on Market Watch Mondays talking about Barkley and Dynasty and how to deal with them.
Okay.
And like, obviously you take like a bit of a discount, but like, I mean, Barkley's still Barkley, right? It's an ACL tear. It's not an Achilles. If it was an Achilles, I would change my tone a little bit, but it's an ACL tear. And it's still like, he's still a top, you know, top three, top five running back, right? Like no matter what. So I'd say you'd still probably try and get something in that range. Like I actually don't have great running backs in that league, but dude, I was talking to Noah about this earlier. I hope Alvin Kamara like just has a pretty muted week because I'm gonna beat fucking animal. I started Corey Clement in my running back position, put up a zero. So if I beat animal this week, I'm just gonna screenshot and put that shit up on Twitter.
That's beautiful. Yeah, animal's got a rough sled of things right now. Gonna be 0-2 in E-Town. Gonna be 0-2 and go fade me.
And yeah,
ass with Corey Clement.
I mean, it depends what you think. Like, I don't remember that's your team, but I remember you drafted a pretty fucking baller team. So if you're like still really going for it, like work some quarterback trades. Right? Like I have like four quarterbacks. So it'd
probably yeah, that's be what I was thinking. Like
the quarterback.
You know, we talked about it a little bit on Fade the Public. Like if I'm looking to move Barkley, it's either going to be for a shitload of picks or it's going to be for a guy like DeAndre Swift or J.K. Dobbins, and then probably plus some because. You know, the team that's getting them that has those guys is probably not looking to compete right off the rip. But, like, I already have DeAndre Swift. So, I like the pieces of my team a lot. But without a guy like Saquon, I don't know that I'm a competitor really for the championship anymore. So, at this point, it's like I can keep him. But, like, I don't know. You know, you have to look at it. Saquon, do we get the full Saquon back in 1 year? Or do we not get Saquon for another year and a half or 2 years? And it's like becomes a messy situation because now he's a guy who – continues to get injured, and is he going to be plagued for his career for you know this stuff? And I don't know. Like that's why I don't know. It's just like a crazy conversation to have right now with all the injuries going on.
The other thing that worries me too is like, do we even know Daniel Jones is going to have a job past like 2021, 2022? This guy is not good in real life. He turns the ball over way too much, and I know he's had a few tough matchups, and he's got a few more coming soon. But he hasn't like really been good at football since that first game where he got thrown in against the Bucks.
Yeah, I asked Snacks this question too because he was like, what happens if, you know, the Giants and the Jets, both New York teams, like if they're top five picks, top three picks, like do they pass up quarterbacks? And he's trying to be objective about it. He actually does like Daniel Jones. And I think it's still too early to really put the feeler out on DJ in this sense because, you know, like Josh Allen, we knew he was going to have a really big start to the year. Maybe not as big as it is, you know, up to this point. He's looked really fucking good. And then DJ on the flip side, right? We knew his schedule early season was going to be really, really tough. So eventually, like, we'll be able to even out those bumps and see where these guys actually stand in real life. So I'm confident that DJ will be serviceable enough given the weapons around him. But I don't know. Like, I'll be honest, I'm a little bit hesitant about Barkley's situation. Say you're in, like, a startup draft. Obviously, wouldn't be drafting, like, right now. But, like, Barkley has to start going behind those tier one, tier two guys, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have a full season of production. It has to be.
Yeah, like, okay, let me rattle off some names for you then. Like, obviously, you're gonna take C-Mac, you're gonna take Kamara, you're gonna take Zeke, you're gonna take Dalvin Cook over Barkley? I'm assuming.
That's a tough one.
I'll take Cook. It is close though.
Yeah, that's a close one.
The extension that Cook got puts him ahead of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take JT.
The rookies, yeah. JT, easily. What about Sanders. The sophomores? Jacobs and Sanders.
I would as well, yeah.
I think the Sanders-Barkley dichotomy is like almost where you're starting to teeter on the borderline of like where you want to go. Because then it gets like, I would take Barkley over Chubb. I would take Barkley over Mixon. But it's like, it hurts so bad. It's like, I don't want to use my first round pick on a guy that I'm not going to be able to use for a whole fucking year. Like, that's where it starts getting weird, you know?
The thing that sucks too is like, you're going to be on the board and you're going to see Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley and you're not going to pick Miles Sanders either. And you know it's like the right pick to take Miles Sanders probably.
Yeah. Good to see fucking Miles Sanders back on the field though this week, man. Yeah. I'll be honest, like if someone that pushed him so hard this offseason, I was nervous that we were going to get like a really hesitant week one where they only gave him like 11, 12, 13 touches and he wasn't going to be efficient with it because I figured the Rams D-line would kind of blow him up. And I rewatched the game. I rewatched it this morning. And he looked good. Like after the first couple, yeah, I think he had some jitters in the beginning where he fumbled the ball, you know, and he was getting hit in the backfield a little bit. But after that, he started, you know, grinding out good yards. He was getting targeted in the passing game a lot. Carson Wentz looked absolutely fucking abysmal. And they lost another offensive lineman. So the overall team situation is scary, but I mean, 27 fucking opportunities. I'm here for that on Sanders.
Yeah. I mean, he had what, 77%, 80% snaps. So he is a bell cow now, I guess, for all intents and purposes. He is dominating the workload on the ground. He's getting goal line looks. He's getting targets. So, I mean, look, I bought into Sanders not because I thought he's like hella talented, but I thought the situation was fantastic.
Right.
But the situation isn't as fantastic because the O-line's hurt and Carson Wentz looks like fucking Andy Dalton out there. But at the end of the day, like, you're still getting the volume. You're still getting the targets. He's getting the high-value touches. And, like, Eagles, they're still not like the Washington Redskins, you know what I mean? So, or the Washington football team. So I think, you know, he's going to be up there. And he's young. He's athletic. The only worry I have is, like, he, like, retweaks his hamstring. That's, like,
yeah, my – that was it. And, like, this game, I felt like if it was going to happen, it would have been this one. And if it's not next game, then I feel really good about him going forward.
Yeah.
The only thing that concerns me at all about Sanders, and I know like it's hard to project 4 weeks out into the future because we've seen how many running backs have gone down recently, but he gets a 3-game slate of the 49ers, the Steelers, and the Ravens, which he's not going to have much room to run at all. So if that's like a buy low window for you, go for it. Because after that, he gets the Giants, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Browns, the Seahawks, the Packers. So it's a pretty easy slate after that.
Beautiful.
And the fact that he's getting as many touches as he's getting, and he did pretty well. I believe he had over 100 yards from scrimmage. He scored a touchdown against a pretty solid Rams front seven. I think you can have like all of the confidence in the world about Miles Sanders because like the common narrative other than him being injured was the fact that he was going to be in a committee and Boston Scott was going to work his way into the offense. That's not happening. He got like 71% of the opportunities and like 77% snap share. So I have no worries about him being the lead back in this offense. Even if it's not a great offense, there aren't many situations like what Miles Sanders is exposed to.
He was the more important stuff was like the snaps are great. And I think we all kind of knew he was going to get the early down work just because they have no one even like close to his size. He took all like the third down work and he took all the goal line work too. So it's like, there's really nothing left for Boston Scott to contribute besides a couple like plays here and there. So I was super happy about the whole Miles Sanders thing this week.
How do you guys feel about Kenyon Drake? I know it's kind of like a similar situation. They're in a better offense. Obviously, he's getting a big workload, but I know I said it to you guys. Like, he just doesn't look good to me, and he has faced two really good defensive lines in the Washington Redskins and the Washington football team and the San Fran 49ers thus far. But I do think he's, like, a decent buy-low candidate because even though
massive
he hasn't looked buy low.
Good – number one buy-low right now.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good, but he's had a tough schedule. He gets a very easy schedule over these next 2 weeks. And he's getting all the opportunity in a high-scoring offense. And Kyler Murray has taken all the rushing touchdowns away from him so far. I'm not so sure that's sustainable. Obviously, he's great on the ground, but I just don't see a world where Kenyon Drake is held scoreless, especially when he's got the goal line role.
Yeah. Kyler Murray's not going to score from 20 to 40 yards out on rushing touchdowns every week. Like I had someone like message me being like, hey, do I sell Kenyon Drake? Kyler Murray's like vulturing all of his TDs. I'm like, what TDs, man? Like they were not really – he didn't have many goal line opportunities, and when they did, he got it. So look, Kyler Murray, man, fucking incredible. I undersold how good this kid is.
He takes like a million steps to go 10 yards, but he just gets by everybody. It's ridiculous.
He's so fast.
Dude, he's just like chopping up. Yeah. It's like, it's like someone's doing video editing and they're like, they take just Kyler and put him in fast forward and everyone else is staying in the same speed.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's like, holy shit.
He looks like a fucking garden gnome, man. Like he's so small.
Yeah.
Like, he looks so like a miniature running garden gnome and it's and never, plus I got to support him because he's half Korean. So I got to support the Asian homie.
Is he really?
But yeah. He's looking incredible. He's half Korean? He's the only fucking Asian person in the league that's not a kicker.
Okay.
Hoku.
Yeah. Guy. So back to Kenyon Drake though. Like, I mean, the way they're using him, you know, people got excited about Chase Edmonds after week one, but realistically, like Kenyon Drake got 18 touches and now he got 22 touches in week two. like this Cardinals team is way, they're 2-0 already. Like they're way better than a lot of people are expecting them to be. They're going to have a defense that's going to keep them in games and keep Kenyon Drake on the field. I mean, he's not a player that's going to be phased out of any game. Like that's the good part about him. He's a three down skill set guy. So there will be times when Chase Edmond gets 10 touches, but that's not going to, look at how many, they ran 82 plays in week one. I think they ran 77 or 78 or something in week two. Like they are the fastest paced team in the NFL right now. And they're winning. They're going to continue to do it. Like you said, like he hasn't been the most efficient, but that's at San Francisco. It's against the Redskins front seven, which is like lethal. They're not letting up anything to any of these running backs. What I guess might be a little bit more concerning is the lack of involvement in the passing game, right? Two targets, two receptions, 5 yards in week one, two targets, two receptions, 9 yards in week two. Like that was a big part of his game last year. But maybe, you know, Kyler running the ball a little bit more this year, feeling more comfortable, throwing a fucking, you know, a ton of looks towards D-Hop over there. So I don't know what you guys think about, like, maybe the game script gets better in terms, worse for the Cardinals, but better for Drake in the passing game. What I see is, like, he hasn't scored a touchdown yet, or he hasn't, you know, looked great in that area of the field. Like, they're not giving him a lot of ops. So he feels like a really good buy low to me.
Guess who he plays these next 2 weeks? The Detroit Lions, who Aaron Jones just absolutely murdered, and the Carolina Panthers, who every running back has murdered. Like, Leonard Fournette had a 40-yard touchdown against them. If you let up a 40-yard touchdown against Leonard Fournette, you necessarily have to be a terrible run defense. He's going to tear him up. And as you were saying, Nick, with the passing game involvement, I don't have the passing blocking snaps in front of me, but every time I watched them play, it seemed like he was out there as an extra offensive lineman, just picking up a guy coming off the edge or through the middle. Maybe that has to do with the type of pass rushes that they are facing, and the fact that they're about to play Detroit and Carolina isn't going to help him to get more involved in the passing game. But he is a good receiver. That's basically all that they used him for in Miami for some reason. So I have no hesitation to think that he's going to end up with like 50, 60 receptions on the season, even though he's starting off slow in that department.
Yeah, so let me – in one of my leagues, I actually offered this trade earlier today. I was sending out Terry McLaurin, TJ Hockenson, Corey Davis for – Kenyon Drake and Latavius Murray. And we actually, Monday Night Football is on right now. And apparently Snacks texted me, said that Kamara kind of walked off gingerly. So there might be something going on with Kamara. He's looked fantastic tonight. He's done. Was fun while it lasted. Okay, so it seems like Kamara, I guess, like that was one of my concerns for Kamara going in. He had that epidural shot in the back, and everyone's like, it's not a big deal. But like every doctor was like, yeah, that's just like a short-term thing covering up probably a longer-term problem. And I don't know how serious the injury is. We could see reports like tomorrow where, you know, he's fine.
Well, did you ask the counselor if he was going to get hurt this year?
He predicted it, so it has to be 100% accurate. Yeah, Kamara's off the field for the year. And that is and now I have to kind of recalculate that trade because that person's never going to accept with Latavius Murray being the second piece of it. But it was basically like, you know, I was giving away Terry and Hockenson for like Kenyon Drake. And for me, I think like I have a lot of wide receivers on that team. And I think that's probably around fair value for where the public kind of sees both of those guys. Like Terry coming off this big game, Drake's been a little like lackluster from an efficiency standpoint. Yep. But those are the kind of trades I would look to make if you did pound the wide receivers rounds like 3 through 7, you didn't get one of your running backs that you wanted early. Like I think Drake's a really good buy low in that spot.
Yeah. I mean, you got to chase opportunity. Like touchdowns will come. This offense is super high volume. I think honestly that maybe the target volume isn't as high as we thought it would be last year. Like he was getting like 10%, 30% target share. But I'd say like, you know, he's still probably well within reason of getting like, you know, 30 to 40 catches, plus goal line work, plus like all the groundwork. I think he's pretty locked and loaded RB1. So anytime he can make a move like that, I think it's a good one.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people come into my DMs asking about buying Kenyon Drake. Some guy just said, should I trade away Chris Godwin and Hayden Hurst for Kenyon Drake and Deontay Johnson? If those are the type of offers that you're getting out there, extreme buy lows, and then getting a Deontay Johnson who looks to be a great breakout candidate, we can talk about him later if you guys want. If you can get that type of offer just because people are wary about him having like 90 scoreless yards through 2 weeks, just go for it because he's getting the opportunity on a good offense. Like, what more do you want?
Dude, yeah. I'm pretty sure Deontay is like actually the alpha there in Pittsburgh now. Like,
he's balling.
Juju, like, he scored the 2 touchdowns in week one. He didn't look like anything special. There were just plays where he was kind of running across the middle and he was open. Like, he's Juju. He's a good player. But I think they've needed someone on the outside that's a legitimate separator and field stretcher and playmaker. And, like, man, people went back and forth saying Deontay Johnson is like an Antonio Brown version. You know, he's like a light version of him. And people are like, don't compare him to Antonio Brown. But like, it's really what it is, man. Like, he plays a very similar style of game where he can get open on his own and you could target him down the field. You could target him pretty much anywhere and he could be a possession guy. And we're seeing him, I think his target share on that team is over like 31 or 32. Yeah, like 30% right now. And I mean, if Big Ben's coming back and targeting him at this high of a pace, it's pretty good to see. And they're throwing the ball a lot there in Pittsburgh now. I know James Conner like kind of came back and had a big game, but this looks like a Deontay Johnson breakout campaign for sure.
Yeah, he's doing good. I mean, Deontay Johnson doing good is also good for Juju. Like, Juju cannot handle outside role at all, and he needs someone to actually pull that coverage.
Right.
So Deontay Johnson being there is good. Like, Chase Claypool actually looks a lot better than I thought he ever would. Making some deep plays. Not sure how we'll get involved in like the intermediate game, or at least for like fantasy purposes, like how reliable it'll be. But he looked pretty good. Like, having those field stretchers there is gonna be good for the offense. Their entire fucking O line is like on IR, so that's not gonna be good for the running game. Probably not ideal for the passing game either. But hopefully it leads to more higher volume passing game script. So yeah, Deontay Johnson is definitely having a good breakout. He started off pretty cold though, right? I mean, like the fumbled, what was it, like kickoff or punt or something like
punt
that?
Return, and then, I think.
Yeah. But he's definitely been picking it up and, you know, hopefully he stays healthy. That's like the main concern there with him. But if he stays healthy, the Pittsburgh offense is rolling. I mean, it's wheels up.
Yeah. 23 targets over his first 2 weeks. Two of his next three games are against pretty big pass funnels in Houston and Philadelphia. So the sky's the limit for this kid. I mean, we were all like pretty big fans of him coming into the season. I know there was like all those models and metrics speaking about how he's going to break out this year because he had 600 yards in like 12 games or whatever. But he legit looks the part of like a wide receiver one. He's like, I guess, kind of like a Stephon Diggs, where he's not built like a wide receiver one as you would expect, but he's really good at separating and he's extremely good after the catch. And if we want to talk about Stephon Diggs and like the most underrated wide receiver 1A, 1B combination in the NFL, it might be what the Bills have going on right now, because those guys just get open. They're very fast, which is, I've heard, is pretty good for a wide receiver to be. And Josh Allen actually looks good, because I know he's had two very easy matchups, but his guys are just always open. He just got to hit him in stride, and that's what he's been doing so far.
Yeah, dude, Josh Allen.
Did everyone get out on Stephon Diggs too early in Dynasty? Like, did we fuck up?
Yeah, definitely.
Or is it too early into the season with these really good matchups? Because Diggs and Allen have looked like the real deal. Yeah.
I feel like Diggs every single year puts up like 300 yards for the first 2 weeks and then does nothing until week 9 again. So we can be like a little bit wary, but that connection looks legit.
Diggs has never been like, the talent has never been an issue with Diggs, right? It's always been like volume, like in Minnesota. Like, the one time he did get volume, like, he put up a wide receiver one season, and like, he always smashes like easy matchups though. Like,
yeah, he does.
Every time, if he's off the injury report and he has an easy matchup, you can basically lock him in for like a top five wide receiver performance. It's like, that's always Diggs. Like, he's boom bust, but he's so predictable in his boom busting. And like, you know, it's like, dude, I've been hating on Josh Allen for a while, 'cause like, I didn't think he's very good. But I was thinking about it, like, you know, it was kind of like the same story arc as Lamar Jackson last year. Everyone's like, oh, Lamar Jackson sucks, he can't pass. All he does is rush. Obviously I'm not trying to compare Josh Allen to Lamar Jackson as a rusher. But like, very same story arc. Like, they both started off blazing hot against like pretty weak opponents, but like, I think at the end of the day, you're still playing an NFL team, and when you dominate to that degree, like, I'm still going to give credit where credit is due. And I think like, Josh Allen is absolutely balled out, and I underestimated the effect that having Stephon Diggs would actually have on him. And like, if we look at like the way they're using him, he's using them like much more in like the intermediate range, because like, Diggs can work, he's a deep ball specialist as well, but he can definitely work the short intermediate. So him having Diggs as that outlet option has been pretty fucking huge, and Diggs is a beast when it comes to contested catches. So Josh Allen doesn't even have to be like that accurate, he kind of just has to put it in the vicinity. So I think they're a pretty good match. I'm excited to see what happens if Stephon Diggs stays healthy. Like, he could be in line for a, you know, high wide receiver two, low wide receiver one season pretty easily.
I don't even think Diggs is the reason why they're passing so much. I think it's because Zach Moss is so bad on the ground that they have no other option. I mean, he's averaging like 2 yards a carry out there.
Yeah, did anyone retweet that tweet of the when Ball Blast was like, you guys would take these guys over Zach Moss, but he had 6 fantasy points when the rest of them had, like, that was just such an ignorant fucking tweet. I wanted people to like retweet over, like, quote tweet it. That's the right fucking terminology for it. We should go back and do that afterwards. But like, Diggs, man, I'm pissed because like, beginning of the offseason or when that trade happened, I remember the first bunch of pods I did, like, I was, everyone was like shitting on it. And I was like, dude, I feel like this is, I remember, I might go back and fucking pull a bunch of clips and chop it up and shit. But I was like, this is the first time Diggs is like going to be the alpha in his offense. Like the, regardless of quarterback or regardless of what, you know, the other situation around it, like he's always had Thielen there who's operated as the alpha, no matter who's on the outside or who's on the inside. I was like, Diggs could just roll into 130 or 140 targets, right? And just be the alpha because he's the most talented guy on the field at any time in that Bills offense. And then I moved away from it. Like the more I thought about Josh Allen and I was like, ah, you know what? Like this is not going to be good. We'll see if they can kind of like mesh together again. It's a wide receiver going over to a new team, but like this looks awesome. I also don't want to get too far ahead of myself because this is something everyone said. We're like, Josh Allen's gonna be really good for the first half of the year, and we'll see when they start playing some really good matchups. But like John Brown, respect the fucking John Brown, man. All he does is smoky. Take the haters and fucking eat off that shit. He's just a baller on the outside. Brown, Diggs, who else? I mean, speaking of Diggs leaving, this was the reason I was nervous about fucking Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, man. Like, they got nothing besides Adam Thielen. And their time of possession in week one was like 18 minutes. Their time of possession this previous week was like 21 minutes. They don't have the ball ever. Like, Kirk looked so bad. This team legitimately might be in the running for one of the top quarterbacks too. Like, what do you do with the Vikings pieces right now?
Dude, it's –
the bag, so I don't know if they're going to be able to pick one.
True. Yeah, they paid him, and like he has a lot of guaranteed money. I don't know, man. It's a tough one. Like that was just like one of the worst, games I've seen. I think like eventually they're going to have to lean on the pass more. Granted, like Kirk Cousins like sucks shit. Like I actually really like Kirk Cousins all offseason. I thought him and Tannehill were like pretty decent values, and he put up like what like negative 19 points in Scott Fishbowl, which is absolutely brutal. Mm-hmm. But like. This defense stinks. Like they cannot stop anyone.
So bad.
And they ran into an offense in the Colts that all they want to do is pound the rock. Like no matter what, just feed JT. Like eventually, like when I looked at the reason why I like them a lot is because their strength of schedule has people with like pretty weak defenses, but like really high end offenses. So they're gonna have to keep up in scoring, and then they're gonna let Kirk sling it. And I think eventually this is gonna come around, and it's gonna be good for Thielen. It's gonna be good for Kirk Cousins. I'm actually still in on this offense, to be honest, surprisingly, even after that abysmal performance. I just think, like, game script's going to dictate it to the point where, like, they can no longer, like, try and establish the run the way that they've been doing, and they can't be as slow paced as they have been. So I'm still in on Thielen. I'm still in on Kirk. We'll see how it works out.
Dude, I swear my brain is wired in, like, such a terrible way. I see the Vikings, and I see the Tennessee Titans, and I just think, oh, tough matchup, tough defense. They go out there, and the Titans let up, like, 30 points to Gardner Minshew. These guys let up, like, 28 to Philip fucking Rivers. They're not good defenses. Neither of them are good defenses. But just touching on what the Colts did, they fed JT the Rock like he was a second-round pick coming out of Wisconsin, putting up 6,000 yards. He's the guy there. Nyheim Hines, there was
stinks.
There was one unnamed fantasy outlet that said that Nyheim Hines would outscore Austin Eckler the rest of the season. You can't do that getting one touch a game. And Jonathan Taylor.
Who said that?
Dude, Austin Eckler. I'll just say
you had him on a business interview type of thing.
I mean, I had like everybody on that shit. I had everyone from the good to. I've had everyone from like the footballers to Mike Tags to fucking the counselor. So like you got to be more specific on that.
Probably the footballers.
He's very good at building. A media network, and his last name is a condiment.
Okay, fair. Continue.
That's all I got, really. And T.Y. Hilton also like doesn't like catching touchdowns. He just drops one a week, so you can pencil that in. I'm not interested in many people in this passing game. I guess Michael Pittman in Dynasty is like looking up because they have no other guys to throw to, and he's on the field a lot. But I mean, if you're catching passes from Phillip Rivers, you're really not catching passes.
Dude. Paris Campbell going down was brutal. I actually had Paris Campbell in my – made a last-second switch to put him into my DFS lineup because I thought it was a good value. Of course,
he was a good play this week.
He was a great play. It was a funnel. It's a pass funnel. I'm going to start everyone against the Minnesota Vikings. They fucking stink.
Great play this week if you wanted to lose money.
Fucking stink.
Minnesota, yeah, 30th in pace in terms of neutral game script. So it's like their defense is terrible. And when they get the ball, they have no urgency. Like that is the cocktail to make a terrible, terrible team right now. They have the pieces. At least they have some skill players to make it look pretty some games. But Thielen is a guy that I'm not shopping. I'm definitely like on board with you there. I mean, 8 targets in the first game, 8 targets in the second game. And we saw what he could do with 8 targets in the first game. So he'll have his ups and downs just based on the team kind of being shitty. But he'll continue to be the alpha there for most of the season.
What about Mo Alley Cox, man? Fucking basketball players playing tight ends, man. A tale as old as time. 5 catches for 111 yards. I don't know about you guys. When I was watching him, it looked like he was running in fucking slow motion. I had no idea how he was putting up numbers because it looked like he looked like he was running in glue. So
I mean, he runs a 4.8, so he's not very fast. I like Mo Alley Cox is a guy that I'm not really about to give too much airtime because like if you sprinkle out like the Mo Alley Cox airtime over the last like 4 or 5 years of doing fantasy football, it's way more that he's more airtime than like career receiving yards he has in the NFL. So like I don't fuck Alley Cox.
Yeah.
I want to see how old he is. So I feel like he's 27. I was about to say he's like sneaky 30 because it seems like he should have been breaking out for the past 5 years. He's like the new and improved Vance McDonald, and he finally had a 100-yard game, and everybody's like patting themselves on the back.
Is Jack Doyle hurt?
He was hurt, yeah.
He was hurt, okay. And Trey Burton's on the IR, right?
I mean, Trey Burton hasn't stepped on the field in forever, so.
Yeah, but like Trey Burton might low-key be better than Mo Alley Cox. So.
Maybe, I don't know.
But I know Darren Waller is better than fucking all of them right now. He's just laying wood.
Darren Waller, remember when people started fading Darren Waller because they drafted 2 fucking...
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Rookie wide receivers.
He was too good.
I was just like, you guys are
Jason Witten, you never know.
People just make dynasty or make fantasy so much harder than it has to be. This guy has had one of the best seasons ever. He's an athletic fucking freak. He's like, he's going to be the team's top receiver again. But before talking about Darren Waller, we talked about this last week, Jonathan Taylor versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We love to see the fact that they are now have equal footing. I think, you know, week one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire jumped out in front with his massive workload and a couple touchdowns. Week two, we saw it, man. Jonathan Taylor, workhorse in college, never got hurt, durable, workhorse in the NFL. And you're seeing that translate. CH was still getting some volume. He actually got a pretty beautiful catch pulled back because of penalties. That got taken off the board, but it was actually a really nice play by him. So I don't know. Where are you guys at? Where are you guys at in this like CH versus Jonathan Taylor type of thing after seeing Jonathan Taylor in his new role as the workhorse for Indianapolis Colts?
They've been flipped. I put out 2 tweets tonight where I said if I was doing a rookie draft starting today, here are my top 12 picks, and then I did one for redraft, and I had Taylor above CEH in both of them. I had CEH above Taylor just because this was going to be CEH's season for redraft, and again, I value the year that we're in a little bit more than JT, but like JT's got, you know, JT is what we thought he was going to be in 2021, but like right now, and what this weekend was not like a product of game script or like some kind of fluky touch split or whatever. Like this is what we're going to get from JT weekend. I get like a million trade questions today about JT, and I'm just like, I see JT, and I'm just like, yes, like that side. I think I had JT as either the 104 or the 105 if I'm doing a redraft league right now. It was Zeke, Kamara, Henry, and then maybe JT right there at 104. I'm like, there's almost no players that I would take over Taylor. I mean, like what, 30 touches now? Like that's going to be like a normal weekly thing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I'm not even sure I want Derrick Henry over him. And I know that's like common narrative for me to say, but he hasn't looked good. Derrick Henry has gotten all the touches in the world, and that offense is still efficient, but he hasn't looked good. And I don't think we should just like brush over that point.
I think it might be the O-line, man. The O-line is a little bit of a concern because they were like really good at run blocking, and then they lost Conklin, and then their first round pick like got hurt, and then I'm pretty sure got like a DUI like last week or 2 weeks. So like the tackle that was supposed to take over for him is not really in there making an impact. And the Tannehill's look great. And Mike, I took him in E-Town get down because of you as like my second QB, and he's been absolutely fucking murking it for
smashing.
Me. But it's came at like the detriment of Henry's getting the volume, obviously, and he's going to continue to. But like this is also kind of how he started off last year, but the opposite, how he was just like scoring on the 1 yard line, like 42 times a game. And now he's not getting any of those. So I do think we will still see Derrick Henry probably finish with like double digit touchdowns. So I'm not really worried about it, but like JT, like we just need, we're going to get one of those runs from JT soon. We're going to get one of those 75 yard breakout runs. And it's just like,
and it's over.
And then the one-on-one conversation start up. You know what I mean? Like that's all we're waiting for that shit to happen.
Yeah. And on the flip side of the Tennessee game, can we talk about Gardner Minshew just being an absolute boy? I tweeted out that if he's not a top 15 quarterback, I'm going to get a mullet. I think even as a top 15 quarterback, I'm getting a mullet either way, and I'm trying to grow out a mustache. It's real suspect right now.
Yeah,
this guy's a fucking animal, and I love watching this team. If you were to ask me at any point in my life if I was excited to watch the Miami Dolphins play the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday Night Football, you would think I would be crazy to say yes. At this point, that might be like the best game of the season. I just can't wait to see.
It might be the best game of the season. Calm down. Next time we're going to fucking turn the video thing on, you're going to be in a fucking trailer.
This is a green screen. You don't know what's going on back here.
Yeah, Dolphins, Jags, Thursday Night Football. That should be an interesting game.
Yeah, I mean, look, we said it from the jump. Like, everyone is always overconfident in their own ability to project something, and everyone projected Jacksonville Jaguars to get Trevor Lawrence. And we said, what happens if Gardner Minshew is better than people expect? And what has he been? Better than people expected. Where did you get him? You drafted him. In Dynasty, at least, he was drafted as if he was going to be a one-year rental. So we said, look, there is literally zero downside to this. He's already getting drafted as a floor. On the off chance he outplays himself and gets like a good contract, like then you get a Dynasty QB. And that's what he's done. He's playing himself into a job. He has nothing to lose. Like, there's no reason for them to, like, if they still, like, kind of suck, or not suck, but like are mediocre and have like a higher end pick, they can trade out. Like they have so many other assets to fill, and they can have an undrafted free agent at quarterback for basically fucking free. And they can have the god undrafted free agent James Robinson at running back. This dude has been balling out. If Cam Akers put up the stat line that James Robinson put up in the first 2 weeks, how much do you think Cam Akers would cost?
Man, yeah. Ball blasting.
Cost you multiple.
Ball blasting was
a good way to think about it. Bro, to be honest with you, though, like, fuck, I'm pissed about the Akers getting injured, though, because I rewatched that game, and he was the starter. He was there on the first drive. He got, like, three or four solid runs in a row. Yeah. He got the carry inside the 10-yard line, and that's when he got that rib injury. And now it's going to be – it opened things up for, obviously, Brown and Henderson to kind of pop off a little bit. And I felt like that was the mojo Akers needed to, like, get the rookie season going a little bit, and that took it out. So now it's going to – you know, it sets him back a little bit. I think it's going to be a pain tolerance thing with him, and he's probably going to be limited to like 25% of the snaps for the next couple of weeks, which peels it back. But yeah, that's a great way to look at it, because, you know, once the season starts kicking in, like ADP goes out the door, and you do have to, prospect-wise, there are a lot of things that you still have to take into account. Like that tweet I put out when I was like redoing the top 12 rookie draft picks, I put Akers at like the 108 or 109 or something, and someone was like, you still have Akers in the first round? And I was like, listen, his size, his speed, his athleticism, his draft capital, not going anywhere. He looked fine, and they clearly want to make him the guy. But like, and then Noah, you obviously, like, ironically, like, tweeted out under it, you're like, James Robinson being disrespected or whatever. I'm like, would you take James Robinson with a first round rookie pick? No, right?
No, I wouldn't.
All you don't have faith, those guys, you don't have faith in him, like, being like the guys long-term on top.
No, it's only been 2 weeks. You gotta still, like, temper your expectations a little bit there.
Of course. He's like a late second round pick now in rookie drafts, but like nonetheless, that came up from nobody. Like, no one was fucking drafting his ass
I'd say he's a mid to higher.
Would you rather him or Zach Moss?
I mean, James Robinson, for sure.
Yeah, you guys have probably convinced me on James Robinson at this point, but I'll let you know.
Sony Michel should have been coming out of Georgia.
Pretty much.
I mean, here's what's gonna happen, right? Like, Devin Ozigbo and Rykel Armstead, who's always fucking been a stinker that people love for some reason, by the time they come back, this job is going to be James Robinson. He's already played himself in the job, because, like, the squeaky wheel has been cleaned. The coaches have said what they need to say. They said, this is our guy. We believe in him. They acted on it by fucking letting Fournette walk, because they knew they had this guy waiting in the wings. They said they're going to use him as a workhorse. He came out, and he is a workhorse. He's getting all the high leverage touches on the goal line. He's getting receptions. They trust him in there for pass pro. He has prototypical size. He doesn't have world beater speed, but he has enough burst to get chunk yardage, right? And that's, honestly, that's all you can ask for someone like him, who is an undrafted free agent. And if he does perform, there's no reason for them to draft running back, because they are not going to be a super big contender immediately. So the fact that you can have a free running back, a free square running back, potentially a free square quarterback, opens up the world for them in terms of roster construction. So that's why I think that the long-term prospects of James Robinson is currently being undersold. Now, is he a lock to be a starting running back, a starting workhorse for the next 2 years? I wouldn't say that, but I've like shifted my tune a little bit from just going from a hold to a actively trying to pursue. And like, honestly, like if I had to give up a second round pick and I needed a running back, I would be open to it. Just because like, even if you just get the 1 years, even if you just get this year of production from him, I think that's worth it. Cause that's like, you know, potential running back too. And most of the time, like that's what you dream to get with the second
round. It's crazy how much trust they've put into him in such small amount of time. Like typically, you know, you'll see the game where James Robinson maybe gets the workload that he did in week one. And then maybe week two, if they didn't really trust him that much, they'd have someone take, you know, 6 or 7 carries from him and things start getting a little weird there. But like they clearly really, really trust this dude. So people are getting a little bit cute being like, yeah, Ozigbo's coming back or whatever. These guys are going to start eating into the workload. It's like they're breather backs at best right now. And like they could take their 3 carries for 7 yards. It's not really going to affect James Robinson the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, and in 2 divisional games, in games where they're playing from behind, he's put up 17 and 19 total opportunities or total touches. Like, you don't – obviously, they're not trying to be like a 16-0 team this season, but you're not going out there trying to lose in division. And the fact that they're putting that much confidence in him to give him like a 60 to 70% snap share, use him in the receiving game, use him in the running game, it just shows that he is the guy. And if there was anybody on this roster that's going to steal his job, it's Chris Thompson, because Jay Gruden and him have like some crazy love affair that spanned the last 10 years for no reason. So if he's not taking his job, nobody's taking his job. And also, I think the running game is also helped out a little bit by LaVisca.
Josh Jacobs is hurt.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Also, Alvin Kamara is not hurt, by the way. He's back on the field. Wait, what happened to Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs limping off the field.
Goddamn.
Potentially.
Yikes. All right. Also, like, the Jacksonville offensive line has been kind of good. Like, if you're looking at just PFF grades, they're number 8 in run blocking this year, which is just – the offense is just surprising a whole lot of fucking people, man. And it's great to see. You just love,
to see a guy like Gardner. He's disgusting.
What about these weapons, man? Because this becomes like an open discussion for like – it's tough. You're going to have to choose the right one. Like, you can go pursue James Robinson. You could pursue Chenault. You could pursue DJ Chark. But it's like, even us who were like so into DJ Chark, it's like, oh, it's only been 2 weeks. And he's played well, like scored a touchdown the first week, 4 for 84 this week. There's still like a little – I'm feeling a little bit of hesitancy now. But I feel like there are legitimate weapons that are taken away from his share of the pie. And like, Chark might not be like the clear alpha that we thought he was, right?
I mean, Keelan Cole's making a fucking comeback for the ages.
Keelan Cole is leading the team in target share too, like 18%. Chark's really not seeing a big piece of that pie.
I'm still all in on Chenault. He has looked fantastic by all accounts in terms of carries. Like, this guy does not go down at all. Like,
no, he's a fucking animal.
These guys cannot tackle LaVisca Chenault, and he has looked incredible as a rookie. He's been pretty efficient. So I'm still all the way on board with LaVisca Chenault. Especially if like someone sent me an offer today, DJ Chark for LaVisca Chenault, I don't know what the fuck I would do, to be honest with you. That's how much I love LaVisca Chenault.
Really?
In Dynasty.
With Chark.
No, of course. I would probably take Chark. Someone's trying to get LaVisca Chenault from me right now. He's like, just name your price. And I'm just like, well, if you're one of those dudes who are just telling me to name my price, like, I could probably oversell the shit out of him. But he's offering me like N'Keal Harry for LaVisca Chenault straight up. And I'm like, dude, we have like a 2-year sample size now of N'Keal Harry, like, not being fucking good at all.
Whoa, hold on. Let's not disrespect N'Keal Harry.
That was dramatic and way overrated.
LaVisca Chenault.
Just trying to make a point.
I'm with you, though. I would not give up LaVisca Chenault for N'Keal Harry. No way, Jose.
Not now.
Just given how efficient he's been as a rookie and just what we've seen, the way they're using him, I just love everything about it. But yeah, I mean, pivoting to the New England Patriots.
Favorite Harry, team.
Harry's getting volume, man. I think Cam is really, really good for Harry, because Cam cannot throw down the field, with the exception of that beauty he threw to fucking Julian Edelman, who dropped it, motherfucker.
Dude, but he made a fucking phenomenal catch down the field too. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, dude, I'm not gonna put that loss on Jules because they were only there because he made some fucking baller ass plays before. But that one hurt.
That last play, dude, was like really
incredible. Like you knew the whole country was watching, and everyone knew, like, they lined up and you're like, okay, Cam's getting the ball. Cam's going to run it up the middle. They're either going to stop him or he's getting in. That was like one of the most exciting plays that we've seen in football in a long time. That was fucking awesome.
One of the most exciting games, period. Yeah. That was a fantastic game. I could not believe we were in a position to actually win the game after that lead. But look, the Patriots, everyone left this offense for dead, right? They thought there were no pieces here for sure. And I think we're seeing, like, I mean, in terms of running backs, still fucking fade that shit. But you can get the running back one in Cam Newton. Cam Newton has been fucking unbelievable, right? He's the current QB3 overall, pending Monday Night Football. I don't think either guy is going to actually exceed him. So he's the QB3 overall through 2 weeks. He was a late-round QB target. I remember in Dynasty startups, fucking Noah sniped me in Filet, but in every other league, like, every time I got to the 10th round, Cam Newton, auto smash. That was before he even got signed. Because, like, this is the type of upside that a player like that possesses. And he's peppering N'Keal Harry with a lot of targets. Now, N'Keal Harry has to get a little bit more efficient. Part of that's on Harry. Part of that's on Cam, because he's, like, in those short to intermediate throws, Cam's not really hitting him in stride at all. So it's kind of like he's struggling to kind of get the yak. But if they kind of get on the same page, I think they can be a pretty nice duo. I think he's a great match for Cam. And Harry's a great match for Cam. And Cam is a great match for him just in terms of their stylistic of play. Cam's not afraid to throw in a tight window. So I'm excited to see how that plays out.
Noah, say what you want to say over there. I know you had a joke cooking up for the last fucking 5 minutes.
No, it's not even a joke. I just remember that pick so vividly because Yannick and I share a team in there. And it was like the 9th round. I'm like, we're going Cam. And he just wrote to me fetal. So I took Cam Newton.
My favorite thing in the world. We always do that now. Like every morning, you'll have at least 3 texts that just say fetal.
Yeah, it's like 4 a.m. fetal. And
fetal.
I text him back.
Always fetal.
What the fuck is fetal?
It just means like you're like ravishly hungover, like, and you're in the fetal position. So you wake up, you say fetal, and everyone knows you had a bad night last night.
And then you trade up into the 11th, and you took Jared Stidham. Like, all right, whatever, we'll take a look at that one.
That's so good.
Probably in like a 3-week fetal position, but yeah, Cam Newton's looked like an animal. He's basically discount Dak Prescott at this point. He's just running in every single opportunity from inside like the 5-yard line. And I know you said he can't throw downfield at all, Mike, but he's still looking like he can actually kind of sling the rock, which he couldn't
do
at all.
He looks fucking sharp intermediate, man. And that, like, last night's game, it was like the opposite of every problem we've had for Cam for most of the years. He's usually a little bit erratic with those throws, but, like, they have dialed in what they need to do with Cam, and he looks good over the short and intermediate. I just, like, don't know if their game plan lends itself to N'Keal Harry, but maybe that's good. Maybe like not putting too much on N'Keal Harry's plate right now is like going to help him develop a little bit better over the long run. Maybe I'm just like fucking making shit up right now, but I don't know. Like, I like how the offense is rolling, and yeah, I have a lot of Cam and redraft, and it's been a phenomenal investment.
Yeah. Also, I don't think that they're going to be in many game scripts where they're like trying to play catch up all game, because Russell Wilson is just one of one. He's, what does he call himself? Mr. Unlimited.
He might have been underselling himself. Yeah. Hold on. Let's talk about DK Metcalf, bro. Just absolutely fucking fathering Stephon Gilmore on that.
Dude, that was insane when I saw
that. He's a legit wide receiver one in Dynasty now, right? Like, you have to be drafting top 15 minimum. I locked up with Wilson for the next fucking next.
I mean, let's bring back the discussion we had in the prior bunk bed breakdowns, Calvin Ridley versus DK Metcalf. I mean, you guys had DK Metcalf. I had Calvin Ridley. I mean, that discussion is going to rage on all season long. I mean, Calvin Ridley is going off. DK Metcalf is – DK Metcalf, we know, we can see, like, what he can be, especially in Dynasty, once he really takes over that true role. Like, I don't think Calvin Ridley has the upside, like, down the line. But, man, from a fantasy perspective, fuck, that's a tough –
Dude, it's like – but imagine flipping their situation – like, okay, imagine just flipping – the reason I like Metcalf more is because – the ceiling is really, really, really there. Like, he has the Julio type ceiling, I think. He's not as refined, obviously.
The Lockett ceiling. But they're basically just like flipping the wide receiver one.
The way they're running their routes now, and I was looking at it on like NFL Next Gen stats, it's literally just like Lockett just going like this, across the fucking field, like just doing jabs, and Metcalf like boom, 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 every single play. And it's like, basically, Atlanta runs 2 times as many passing plays every game as Seattle does. And, like, that's why I feel like Ridley's really popping off statistically. But for the long term, I don't know how much you can buy into that. Because, like, how much longer is, like, Dirk Cutter going to be here and Dan Quinn going to be in Atlanta? Like, they should be hopefully gone by the end of this week, but they're not going to be. But, you know, it's going to be the year probably they'll see it out. And then what happens if they fuck up and bring in another head coach that, you know, just sucks again, and that's probably going to happen. And I don't know. Like, Ridley looks fucking awesome, but as long as Julio's there, I'd probably still prefer Metcalf.
I think Julio being there is good for Ridley. Like, I honestly believe that. I think Julio being there is what opens up all his opportunity for Calvin Ridley. I mean, he's going to be the wide receiver one overall for this week.
Yeah, he is.
He looked the part, too.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, I don't want to discount any type of touchdown, but I think, like, two of his four were just, like, wide open. The cornerback's on the ground. But he's also, like, a really good route runner. He's going to find himself in those situations a lot, and he's done that the past two seasons. So I'm not discounting that at all. As for Dynasty, I mean, it's a three-year age gap. Calvin Ridley's basically 30 at this point, which is 25. And Russell Wilson's younger. He's locked up for a long time. I don't know. I just – DK Metcalf just looks so good out there. And, like, I don't know. He's incredible. He's just an animal.
He looks like a real – yeah, like, in my eyes, he's gone from just this athletic specimen to, like, a really dominant football player. Like, he looks really good at the wide receiver position.
Yeah. Even curl route that he ran, and then he just turned upfield and, like, put Stephon Gilmore into a baby stroller and, like, pushed him down the sideline. Like, that was absolutely menacing. He shouldn't have to do that to a grown man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was incredible to watch. When I saw him, like, burn – anytime someone, like, makes Stephon Gilmore look foolish, I pay attention. That's why I bought in on Devontae Parker after last year. I was like, holy shit, this guy just – fucking took Stephon Gilmore to town, and DK did that. And the fact that they even had Gilmore on DK tells me a lot as well, in just terms of like how Bill sees it and how the defense sees him. Like, he's going to be incredible. But Tyler Lockett, we cannot discount Tyler Lockett because he is also incredible. Just if they continue to let Russ cook, I mean, this is a low key potential for like two top performing wide receivers on the same team that we did not see coming.
Lockett's going to go 6 for 75. Until like 2029. Next 9 years, you got 6 for 75 in your wide receiver two spot. Don't worry about it. Yeah, like, you don't have to worry about his longevity because he doesn't like do anything that's crazy that would put that in danger.
Yeah. He'll get a touchdown every other game.
This is really reminiscent of that Super Bowl where it was like Doug Baldwin, and then they got that guy Chris Matthews out of Foot Locker, and he put up like 110 yards and a touchdown. That's like basically the wide receiver one and two in there now.
What else you got to talk about? We got, dude, do you guys play DFS?
I tried.
Oh, dude, I played – it was a good week for DFS for me. I went 5 for 6. I usually cash – I do 3 lineups cash in on DraftKings. I do 3 lineups on FanDuel. So normally if you, like – if you hit 4 of 6, then you cash, right? And if you, like, go 2 of 6, then you basically lose. But, yeah, last week was a good week. I went 5 of 6, even though I started Adams in fucking, like, every lineup.
No.
But the savior was I started Mike Evans over Amari Cooper, who was the chalk for that week. So that saved me. But yeah, man, you guys get into DFS. I'm starting to like DFS more than I like season long, to be honest.
Damn. I just fuck my DFS, free lineups and people. But how about wait, in the what it do league, I just realized I had the Waller Carr stack and they put me up 54 points right now, and I came back and beat Scott.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Never mind. We're not selling Barkley. We ain't selling fucking nobody. Don't send offers. No one's on the fucking
I just
block
declined your yet. Leonard Fournette for Saquon Barkley trade too.
God damn.
Wait, no, but if you're competing, that means you want to
sell. Yeah, I know. I realized as soon as I said that, it didn't make sense. I was just excited.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's epic. Dude, I think I lost my Scott Fishbowl matchup, but I think I'm like fucking 14-1 or 15-1 here in my leagues. Yeah. We're fucking
Mike, we're down by like 0.6 in the listener league because he has Josh Jacobs.
No, motherfucker, dude. Damn That's it. Tough.
I want someone to just fucking ran in a touchdown. I think Jalen Richard or some fucking nobody took a touchdown.
Really?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Jalen Richard, 20-yard run.
It was Richard, yeah.
That's huge. Dude, I'm doing hot in the Scott Fishbowl, man. I'm 2-0.
Yeah.
Let's check out my lineup here. I got Patrick Mahomes, Ryan Tannehill, obviously crushing it for me right there. And then I got Kareem Hunt, who went fucking ham this week. I picked up James Robinson off the waiver wire for like $11 before week one. So he's going ham for me.
Dude, I forgot to put in my fucking waivers. I always forget to put in the waivers in Scott Fish. I wanted Robinson and just didn't put anything in like a fucking GG, asshole. Bro.
Yeah, and then I got J.K. Dobbins. I got a couple of like other fringe, Cam Akers, and then some other fringe running backs. And then I had Julian Edelman put up a fucking ham week for me. Tyler Boyd went pretty well too, and they got Mark Andrews and Dallas Goedert. I think I have a good chance. My team's like pretty set up.
Yeah, we slapped in week one, and then George Kittle, Chris Godwin. So whoever I was going against put up like over 200 points. So I didn't really have a fucking chance this week. But I have Diggs on that team. I had Kareem Hunt, Chris Carson, Antonio Gibson for like a 14th rounder. But you know what fucking killed me? It was Kittle round one, and then I went
like Breeze and Brady, I was excited about getting them early. So I think they were like two of my first five picks. And I got Minshew in like the 11th, and he's been by far and away my best fucking quarterback. I haven't been playing him at all. Like a fucking asshole. Just poor management. That's why I don't like the Scott Fishbowl, because like it's like the league I pay least attention to. And like it shows really fucking quickly, because you have to make moves. No, it's not best ball. It's a managed team, and like the scoring is so fucking odd that like you have to pay attention to what you're actually doing to do well in it.
Yeah, you definitely have to pay attention.
I don't even like set my lineup in my home league, so I can only imagine.
Yeah, how are you doing in your auto drafted league?
it's real rough for me. I had Will Fuller put me up a donut. Mark Andrews with like nothing. Joe Mixon and Kenyon Drake. They're doing like the little handshake emoji, like just garbage in between them. Like it's real ugly. I'm 0-2 for like the first time ever, I think, and I think that just dictates that the computer is not as smart as I am.
I think that's a good spot to end it for this week. Hopefully you guys found some interesting nuggets in there. We're going to keep it casual going forward in this episode, but we got big facts coming in the main channel on a weekly basis. We got Market Watch Mondays every week. We got Noah's segment coming in every week as well. So make sure you tune into our channel. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like, thumbs up, comment. Tell us we're shit. Tell us we're good. Shit on Noah's. I don't know what that is. Fucking rape stash. But
there's a lot.
We had like 50 minutes of like no slander.
Shit on that if you want to. I don't know.
Yeah, far too long. There's a whole lot of gang shit going on here.
We didn't even talk about Justin Herbert today. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about
Herbert. Let's spend a couple minutes talking about Justin Herbert. Dude,
you know what? It really would have been a fucked up week if the Chargers walked away 2-0. Like, I'm honestly really glad they didn't, because y'all don't deserve that. I'm sorry.
All right, that's the end of this week's episode. I'm real happy that we lost.
Fuck you. I'm over here as a Falcons fan sitting here. We just lost the most pathetic loss, like, possibly in the history of the NFL. Like, that might have been the worst loss of
I don't understand the onside kick. Why didn't they just pick it up?
Except for our 28-3 fucking Super Bowl loss. So honestly,
it was the worst loss since the
28-3. Yeah, and the fucking episode.
Atlanta Falcons have the two worst throws in the history of the NFL. You hate to see it. But before we log off, let's give credit where it's due to tight end one converted to quarterback after week one.
Mike, Justin the video's Herbert. Been ended. You're just talking about it.
We've ended the video 40 times.
Justin Herbert. He looked good. He looked great. Good.
He looked great.
He looked good, but that did not stop Anthony Lynn from coming out today and saying that Tyrod Taylor gives him the best chance of winning, and he's going back in the lineup when he comes back. That is not good news. It's not what you want to hear. But shining star is, look, if you guys got Justin Herbert, draft him at value after we shout on him all year long. Looks like you're in for a little shiny coin there. But more importantly, let's take 1 minute to shit on all the Austin Eckler premature victory lappers, because he is an absolute stud. What I will say though, it was bothered me that Joshua Kelly out carried him.
Bro,
Joshua Kelly broke one tackle and Austin Eckler broke 10. Joshua Kelly obviously was way less efficient on the ground, so it didn't make much sense to me. But as we saw with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert, Anthony Lynn loves to give it to players that are not good. So I'm sure we'll see that continue. And that makes Joshua Kelly relevant for fantasy, because we care about volume at the end of the day. But Austin Eckler came out, got the target. So, you know, hopefully Tyrod Taylor doesn't stick around for too much longer.
Because, I loved it. I loved it for Eckler. If Herbert's in there, I assume it's going to be really at least what we saw for Eckler. This was like the bounce back week, because we thought they were going to be trailing. Like, how fucking good is this Chargers defense?
Imagine they had Derwin James.
Dude, I'm saying, like, I feel like every year we're like, oh, this Chargers defense is so good. They lose all of their players to injury, and then they're still just, like, really good. And I'm like, what is this fucking alien defense?
Disgusting. And the coverage.
Bosa, Ingram on the pass rush side.
So good.
And then they got Hayward on the outside, Chris Harris Jr. in the slot. Like, the pass rush plus the coverage combo is what makes, like, defenses super fucking legit, and
it's
like
ridiculous.
People can't pass them.
So I'm excited as someone who owns a lot of Eckler, like what we saw from Justin Herbert, and I can't fucking imagine they put Tyrod Taylor back in, bro. Like, there's no way. Literally a fireable offense. I'd have to imagine that they're gonna ride this thing out.
They're gonna put Tyrod Taylor back in, and they're about to lose like 15 straight.
Dude, Tyrod's just so – it's so brutal, man. Like, you want to root for Tyrod, like you do. Like, you like him as a person, and you want to say he's like a good football player, you know, but
dude, he just brings nothing. He brings nothing except leadership. Like, put his ass on the let him be a coach, honestly. Fucking promote him to head coach in the middle of the game, in the middle of the season. He'd probably be a better coach at that point. But, like, no fucking pizzazz to the offense, man. We need Herb God out there. Herbs and Spices back out there for quarterback. Let's go.
They were moving it, but yeah, Josh Kelly just seems to be the goal line back there, which isn't great for Austin Eckler, but he's also a guy who can break like an 80-yard touchdown any touch of the ball. So as long as Herbert's out there and he's getting the volume between the 20s, he has the potential to break a big one. He's firmly a running back one. I'd rather have him than Joe Mixon. Would you rather have him or Kenyon Drake the rest of the season?
Ooh, that's close.
I think I'd rather have Kenyon Drake.
I think I would take Drake too because I trust that offense a lot more.
Yeah, I'm leaning Drake.
I trust the offense a lot more. With Kelly, yeah, with Kelly, like, I'm not surprised he has a role. They obviously wanted someone to, like, bang it up the middle and take – like, that's a lot of the reason why he averaged, you know, like, 2.9 yards per carry or something, because they were, like, 3rd-and-1 and a lot of those kind of shit carries. But he did exactly what they did, he did exactly what they wanted him to do in that role. But, like, 23 carries is a little fucking obsessive. Like, you know, calm down and, like, give 4 of those back to Austin Eckler and let him do his job. You just paid him about $40 million. So that was kind of annoying to see.
Yeah, or just keep him and just give Eckler the targets. I'm down for that too. Lower carries for Eckler. But yeah, Eckler on limited touches. Like, I think perfect thing for Eckler is if he gets like 12 to 15 carries on the ground and then like 4 to 6 targets per game. And then like maybe they get like some of the goal line work and then he'll easily return the RB1 value just because his efficiency is incredible. And like, dude, hopefully we're not going to see any more, but like over the, of course, the past week, the amount of fucking like Austin Eckler is not good. And like Philip Rivers,
another tug. Sorry.
Nice. And Philip Rivers and Nyheim Hines and Philip Rivers made Eckler. Like, those types of comps drive me fucking crazy because Austin Eckler is an incredibly good football player. And Nyheim Hines is literally Kalen Ballage, but catches passes and doesn't run. So like, you cannot make those types of comparisons. Please respect the God, Austin Eckler. And I think the concerns are lifted, especially in Dynasty. If you have Eckler in Dynasty, get fucking excited because we saw what it looks like with Justin Herbert, the God.
Yeah, people were buying low. I just saw Curtis Patrick make a tweet, and he said he traded Saquon Barkley for Ezekiel Elliott and Austin Eckler last week.
Like, that, and I was like, dude, that's like an absurd fucking trade. Like,
yeah, even last week, you're like, what the fuck was going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that tweet too. He made off with 2 fucking steals in those trades. But Dynasty is a lot of luck when it comes to it because value, I feel like, fluctuates in the public eye so rapidly from week to week. Let's finish. Let's actually finish.
All right. That's all we got for you. Hope you guys enjoyed.
We don't need that bullshit outro. Just fucking cut it.
Let's fuck you guys. Fuck everybody.
Again, just how we began is how we finish.
Peace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.